Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is a very famous passage of Scripture concerning the woman at the well. And during this episode, the disciples of Jesus Christ showed up. The woman left to go tell the men in town that she had found the Messiah. And so he has this conversation beginning with verse 31. And this is with his disciples. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do something now, Father, that only you can do. That is, bring glory to yourself and open the Scripture, Father, to our understanding and speak to our hearts. Father, every one of us in here is made of flesh, and we have the Spirit of God in us, but we're made of flesh. And it is so important, Father, that your Holy Spirit now speak to our hearts those things that we in our flesh can't see concerning the things that are in this passage, that we may be responsive to you, Father, and hear from you and be corrected by those things that are in the Scripture. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love preaching. I mean, not only preaching, doing it, but I love preaching in that I love to be around it when I hear it preached. And you know, oftentimes I'm particularly interested when I hear a preacher who has honed out a message and all that, and I sit there and just kind of hang on every word and all that. But you know, a lot of times with that kind of preaching, when I'm gone, I think, boy, that was really, really good, but it may not be life-changing. And then there are times when somebody I may be visiting with at a doorstep about the Lord will say something, and the Lord just uses that to bring all kinds of conviction. So tonight, you're not going to hear a well-honed message. You're not going to hear something that has been beaten out on the anvil very, very carefully with all these nicely worded illustrations in order for you to walk away and say, boy, that was really good, and then not having a life-changing effect. I hope that God tonight will answer our prayer and just give us something out of this that will allow us to be responsive to His words in the area of our heart that needs the most correction. Jesus had to tell his disciples to lift up their eyes in verse 35 and look on the fields because they couldn't see what he was seeing. Now, we have a couple of girls that are from Illinois originally that are staying with us, and they grew up on a farm, and now they're living in Austin, and they're missing the farm. And they got here and they said, you know what, this town, this area, you've got a lot of agriculture around here. This looks a lot more like where we lived than even in Austin. And so as we were driving, we got talking about the various things that grow and things like that. And they said, well, why are these fields empty? Well, and the reason these fields are empty is that the harvest now is done, and it hasn't time yet to plant. I told them we won't plant again until February or March, and they laughed because in Illinois you wouldn't be planting that early, and you wouldn't be harvesting in June or July either. Okay, but these fields right now are in their dormancy. Actually, during planting season, they were in their dormancy because we didn't have any rain. Okay, and so people are used to the season of planting and the season of dormancy. They're used to the season of growing and the season of harvest and all that kind of thing. And the Lord said to them, there are yet 4 months. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. And he said, guys, you need to lift up your eyes, and you need to look on the fields, for they are white already under harvest. He saw something that they didn't see. Now, if you were to walk outside, just like our house guests had noticed, you would say, well, there's nothing out there to harvest in these fields, and you would be right. But may I tell you something? There's a neighborhood right across the road here, and then right across the field there's another neighborhood, and you know something? There is something going in there that's ready to harvest. You see, and the thing is, we don't lift up our eyes and look on those fields and see that. When we look over there, you know, we see, well, that's a neighborhood right there, and the houses in there run about $120,000, $130,000, and a lot of those were first-time buyers, and they've left now, and they're renting the house to somebody else. And we see that the streets are all named for trails that were used in the cattle drives back after the Civil War. And over here, we see this is an old, established subdivision, McNorton Road, and we can name some of the streets, and we may even know, I do know, some of the people that live there, and we know some of the people that live over here. And you know, we could talk about all those characteristics, but the Lord said, you need to look at something other than street names and prices of houses and conditions of homes and maturity of landscaping and conditions of mowed lawns. You need to start thinking about what's in those houses, and you need to start thinking in terms of harvest. You see? And so what we see and what the Lord sees are not the same thing. He said, you guys need to lift up your eyes, you need to look on the fields, and you need to notice that they are white already to harvest. Now, if tonight we, being reminded by this scripture, could lift up our eyes and look on the fields and notice that there are people, that's what the fields represent, and that there is a harvest, it would change the way that we conduct ourselves when we're out there in the field. I mean, the cashier at the store and the neighbor down the street and the people that you run into and all that, there are people who have souls, and those souls are in some condition of preparation regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you and I see the fields white already to harvest, we're going to do some things according to this text. First thing we're going to do is we're going to reap. That's what he said right here. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields in verse 35, for they are white already to harvest. And then he says in verse 36, and he that reapeth. So if we are, listen, if we were to notice, if we were a farmer, for instance, and we had planted our field in anticipation of a harvest, once the harvest came up, you think we'd say, you know what, Mom, I think it's a good time for vacation. Let's go to Maine. That wouldn't make sense. Because the whole purpose of what we've been doing is to get to this point. We now would stick around to start reaping that harvest. That's what we planted for. And the reason that we would do that is that there is fruit to be brought in. I suppose, and I don't know what there is, but they say there's 300,000 people in the city limits of Corpus Christi. Do you suppose there's anybody in this town that's ready to get saved right now? I would say there's at least one or 15, you know, that are ready to get saved. But the thing is, somebody's got to go out there with the intention that that person who's ready to get saved is going to be approached with the gospel so that something can be reaped. That fruit has to be gathered in. And you know, that I've noticed something about this whole process. That fruit usually doesn't walk itself into the barn. It happens occasionally. Okay? But for the most part, there's somebody that was there actively involved in that reaping to gather that fruit. And that's very consistent with everything you read in the gospel. Jesus keeps sending his disciples out. He keeps telling them, you're going to witness. He says, go into those villages and preach the kingdom. Somebody's out there with a scythe. Somebody's out there with a harvesting tool to bring in some fruit. You know, I suppose that if we woke up every morning and as part of our morning prayer and part of our morning devotion, we left the house in full anticipation that somewhere we were going to run into somebody that was ready to be reaped, we'd probably do more reaping. But you know why we don't is our eyes have not been lifted up on the field to notice that the field is white already to harvest. That's a problem with us. We say, oh yeah, that's a nice looking shirt. Did you buy that thing at Joseph Bank? Well, that's nice. Where'd you get that tie, pal? That's a good looking tie. What do you do for a living? I realize that, you know, we've talked about this for a long time. We know we need to build relationships with people that can be used for us to have an avenue of preaching the gospel to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But somewhere there's somebody that needs to be saved. There are several books that have been written by Walter Wilson, who was a doctor. Every morning that he got up, he was conscious that there was somebody he would run into, God had already been dealing with, who was already white unto harvest, and he was ready to reap. He went prepared for that. He really did. And so one thing that we'll do when we recognize that there's a harvest out there, that we'll start to reap, to gather the fruit. But that's not all. We'll do it to profit the sower. Jesus said, other men sowed, you're reaping and you're entered into their labors. Isn't that a shame that somebody else was here before and did all that labor to sow the word of God, and now the people that come don't recognize that when that person saw a field in which seed could be planted, everybody else came along, it's fully ripe and ready to harvest, and they're going, wow, gee, Wally, wow. You say, has there ever been any labor done in sowing the seed of the word of God? Continuously. KCTA has been broadcasting Christian radio here for I don't even know how many years. And albeit not all of it's good, there's a lot of it that is good. Lester Roloff had People's Baptist Church and other churches that he pastored. Lots of seed was sown there. In our area, we're out distributing Bibles right now. Do you know that years ago, Annaville Baptist Church did a very similar thing to this years ago, and there's seed that's been sown in this field? As we told you one time after the Junior Livestock Show one year, we went back to Robstown to make follow-up visits, and a lady got saved, and her mother had gotten saved listening to Billy Graham, and seed had been sowed that far back and continued on to the children that far back. And one day there's a woman over there, and the Lord was just pulling on her heart. You ought to go talk to her. And she's on the telephone sitting on her front porch. She has no idea. I had no idea what God was looking at, but that was some harvest ready. And she got saved, her daughter got saved, and her granddaughter got saved on three different occasions. It's an amazing thing. So we reap to profit the work that somebody else had done, to profit the sower before us. There are other preachers that have also sown in tracts that have been passed out. It's an amazing thing. You know what? I was talking to Marie just the other day, and we were visiting about back in those days with Benny and Preston had gone to talk with her and visit with her about the gospel, and she came. Do you know that back in the 80s, she had been watching Drawing Men to Christ on television? And back in the 80s, we were involved in that ministry when we were in Beeville? That's an amazing thing. Seed had been sown that far back, and one day, a harvester showed up. What? To profit the sower. You know what else? To rejoice in the harvest. Look what he says here. When he says at the end of verse 36, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. To rejoice in the harvest. Have you ever led a soul to Christ and walked away feeling worse than you did before you led the soul to Christ? That's a strange thing, isn't it? You know, I have watched people, and they come back and they go, oh, somebody got saved. And they didn't do it to be braggadocious. They did it because they were excited. I mean, you know, today, this poor society that we live in is just excited to death. I mean, we got baseball playoffs going on and basketball players. Is that starting up now and getting ready to happen? Some one of these days, and hockey will be starting up, and football's all in the middle of all that stuff. I love what that guy said. Did I tell that here, or did I just tell individuals about the guy with the liver transplant at the barbershop? Did I tell you all that, or did I tell an individual about all of them had to wear Dallas Cowboy jerseys? Yeah. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, he made his funeral arrangements. He told it said in there, all the pallbearers have to wear Dallas Cowboy jerseys. And he said, that way they can let me down one more time. I love that. That was so good. That was so good. One of these guys here said Tony Romo was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I thought to myself, really? He said, "What? He just makes mistakes at the wrong time. That's probably why he's not one of the best, in my opinion, humbly." All right, but the thing is, yes, it's fun to see a soul come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the things that I've ever done, I mean, this society, is, you know, they go crazy when the ball goes out of the park. You know what? It's over. But when a soul comes to Jesus Christ and gets saved, that's not over. That's the beginning. And it's there that night and the next day and the day after that, all the way through to eternity. And then on through eternity. It never ends. What a great joy. Why do we go in? You know, if you could just see it the way that Jesus sees it, you'd gather the fruit and profit the labor of the former sower, and you'd rejoice in the harvest. And you know what else? You would receive a reward. And don't tell me one more time, like others have said, oh, I'm not in this for the reward. And I'm sure you don't go to work for the paycheck either. I mean, seriously. And you never have competed in any game to win, right? You're just, the rewards never turn you on. Being the victor never turned you on. Nothing like that. If you would remember who it is that gives you the reward, you might have a different attitude about it. If this is His economy, it's the way He set it up. The reward evidently is of some value because He speaks of it right here. He says at the beginning of verse 36, he that reapeth receiveth wages. There is a personal benefit to this exercise, and God says, I'd like to motivate you with that. Now, if you can't be motivated with that, then boy, we got some serious problems. You know, you need to come to work here, and we're going to give you, you know, minimum wage and leave you there till you die and see if we can't get a good deal out of that. But I know you're not turned on like that. You're different. You're built differently. And in this economy, you would do the same thing, to receive a reward. You know why I want to receive a reward? For one simple reason. I want to have something to throw back when the time comes for throwing crowns. I have no personal desire, personally, I may be like you in that regard, of hanging on to that thing. I just want to make sure. Listen, have you ever been to a wedding? And then they throw rice? Oh, skip me. I don't want to throw that. No, give me two bags. You know? I mean, really, you know, I just want to have more to throw for the benefit of God, who was long-suffering enough with me to give me even a chance to preach this gospel. Do you think when we preach a salvation message in here on Sunday morning and we've prayed over that and hammered that thing out, we came in here and fully expected that nobody would get saved? We didn't want them to get saved? Huh? No way, man. You're over here and you look over there and you think, I think that person's lost. Look at them, boy. They're starting to kind of crumble under the message. You're like, come on, dude! I mean, really. It's a terrible disappointment when you preach like that and somebody that's lost walks out of here without Christ. Okay? So what would we do? If we could just see what he sees and recognize that the fields are wide under harvest, first thing we'd do is we'd reap. And I'll tell you the second thing we'd do. This is pretty simple. We would sow. We would sow. Why? He says in here, herein is the saying true in verse 37, one soweth and another reapeth. Generally speaking, you don't get to do your own sowing and your own reaping, although sometimes you do. That tells me that the process of that seed producing something in that life takes time. And it's very common that you're here. Here you have, you've come all the way down from Austin, you've knocked on a bunch of doors. I was talking to Pastor Robbie, and he got to talk to five different people today when we were door knocking. Every one of them he got to preach the gospel to. He was elated. He said, they're not doing to me here what they do to me in Austin. In Austin, five doors, bam, 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 bam. Every one of them slammed in my face. Here, five doors, and everybody wants to sit down and talk about the gospel. All right, now he's gotten to do a lot of sowing. They're leaving town Friday night. Somebody else is going to have to enter into that labor. And because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, I believe somebody else will enter into that labor. So it'll cause us to reap, but it'll also cause us to sow. Why? Because we recognize we've got to prepare for another harvest. These guys over here that plant, you think they're going to plant again in February or March? Sure they will. He said, well, they didn't have a harvest last year. It didn't even rain. Yeah, but maybe next year it will. So they're going to plant in anticipation of it. They don't quit sowing just because they've reaped. And we don't quit sowing. The thing about it is that oftentimes when we go out, we just want to make sure, listen, I may not have the opportunity to come back and say that anything more happened than that I passed out a few tracts, told a few people about Jesus, and that was it for the day. But you know what? I have confidence that this word does not return void, and that harvest is being prepared for somebody else down the road. Listen, when we finally see that these fields are wide under harvest, we'll sow not only that, but to prepare for that harvest and to prepare for those other reapers. Listen, I know this crowd, and I think I'm getting to know this crowd. Aren't you a little cautious about just coming in there and whacking down everything you think is a soul ready to get saved? Aren't you a little cautious about that? And indeed we should be. But let me just say this, listen carefully. Sometimes we're so cautious about whacking down something that's not ready to be harvested that we hesitate to even sow. And that can be a problem. We'll say, well, I don't, that person doesn't look like they're ready to harvest. Well, then why don't we do a little more sowing? Just do a little more sowing. That's okay. We should. What will you do? When you recognize that the fields are white already to harvest, you'll reap, you'll sow, and one other thing, you'll finish the work. That's what Jesus said here in verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of them that of him that sent me and to finish his work. I've noticed something about farmers. They don't stop till all the harvest is in. They don't go halfway. You'll see them in there and they have lights on their combines. I know a little bit about this harvest thing. Not very much, but I know a little bit. When this grain around here is harvested, like the maize, milo, grain sorghum, whatever you want to call it, or corn, it has to be at a certain moisture content so that it can be stored in the silo. If the moisture is too high, the farmer's going to be docked for a drying expense. And every 0.5% of moisture that's taken out of it is one pass through the dryer, and that's a certain fee. So he tries to get his moisture down to about 13.5% or 14% so he can harvest it and take it out without being docked. Furthermore, if he lets it dry too much, he begins to lose weight, and that costs him because the poundage is less. So he's trying to get it at the right deal. And man, when that harvest is ready to come in, as soon as the dew is off of that crop so that he doesn't have an excess moisture, he starts cutting and he will cut all day and into the night until the next dew falls and the moisture comes back up. And that could be midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't make a difference. And you know, I've watched those guys. They'll be out there and they'll harvest and they'll harvest and they'll harvest in those combines. They won't go home. They won't break for lunch. Somebody will bring them a sandwich. You've watched them. They just keep that old combine's running. It's got a big old conveyor coming out of it, filling up the bin on a being pulled behind a tractor. They're making runs back and forth to the trucks, and that combine is cutting. He's in there eating sandwiches, and if he ever does get a little break because of a moisture, he'll put his feet up on the dashboard, go to sleep, and as soon as that moisture's clear, gone again. That's what Jesus Christ was doing. They said, Master, eat. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He skipped a meal and got into something because the time was right. Do you think, let me ask you this, do you think there's just a handful of people left to be saved? What do you think? Or do you think there's potentially a few more than that that need yet to be saved? I think there are. I think there are more yet that need to be saved. I don't know how many. I have no idea. But I think that yet there are many still to be saved. Do you think there are a lot of reapers in Corpus Christi? I mean, your knowledge of things around here. Give me this if you think there are a lot. I think, oh yeah, I think there are a lot of reapers. I think there are big time soul winners in every church in Corpus Christi. You believe that? I don't believe that. That means that more of the work is left to be done to Bible believing Christians. And there are those around here that still are willing to reap and sow. Don't you think? I really believe that. And so there's a work yet to be finished. You know how I know it's not finished? Jesus hadn't come back. Jesus knew when he had finished his work because he was on the cross. He said, it is finished. Paul knew when he had finished his work because he said, I finished my course. I think if we got interested enough in that harvest, we'd know when we'd finished our work. Preston Ford died. He was 104 years old. When he was 98 years old, he said, I've often wondered why God allowed me to live so long. And he said, but I think I know the reason why. I begged him when I was 50 years old that he would make me a soul winner, and he did. And I'm still winning souls, so I guess he's not through with me. What a different testimony than somebody who's 68 that's sitting in a hospital recovered from a heart attack that says, well, I don't really know why God has me left here, but I'm sure there's some purpose for me to do. Boy, that's a big difference. You know what the difference is? Preston saw the harvest. He said, well, where did he go to find people to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ? 96 years old, he was driving himself to the visitor center at the McConnell Unit prison in Beeville, dealing with the mothers and fathers who had come to visit with the prisoners. When they were in the waiting room, he'd sit down with an old Gideon Bible and say, can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I talk to you about the love of Jesus? And they'd say, man, I could use some love, sure. And he talked to them about the love of Jesus, and he was leading souls to Jesus Christ. They tell me on all the years that he got involved in that in the latter part of his life, when he was up in his 90s, that there were 200 people that got saved in that visitor center. Now, you know, by the time a man's up in his 90s, he could retire from the harvest, don't you think? But he never did. You know why? Hadn't finished his work. Hadn't finished his work, and he knew it. Jesus said in this passage right here, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He recognized that reaping and sowing and finishing the work was the will of God who sent him. I wonder if we wouldn't realize the same thing, that this is the work that God has for us. Now, I'll say once again, like I did on Sunday, the truth of the matter is the crusade hasn't even started. It won't start till tomorrow night. But the harvest is there tonight. You know where we'd be good, and that's why these guys are working diligently through there, just seeing if there's anybody else that we can still get to come here to hear the gospel preached that might be saved. You know what you ought to do, and what I ought to do, is redouble our efforts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, still trying to get somebody that can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. You say, who? Anybody that will come with you. Because you and I don't have as much discernment as God does who it is that's ready to be harvested, but all we can do is just keep it open in our mouths and say, you know what? There's a good place for you to hear the gospel. If you'd like to come, come with me tonight. And I'll take you to the quad after you get saved. until we finish the work. Amen? I don't think God did all this as a show. I think he did all this in preparation for a harvest. Father, we're sure thankful tonight for the opportunity to see that there's more yet to be done. And I'm asking you, please, to change our view. Father, there were blind men that were on the side of the road, and when they heard that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of David, was walking by, those guys would cry out and say, oh, Lord, open mine eyes. And he'd come over there and say, what do you want me to do? Just open my eyes so I can see. He'd say, okay, now you can see. You know what I ask you to do tonight? Open my eyes, Lord. And help me get a whole lot better perspective on what's going on here in Corpus Christi, Texas. What's going on daily in my life when I'm bumping into people. I don't think I'm seeing it clearly enough yet. I pray that you'll help us to see these fields are white under harvest, Father, and that we have something that's very simple to do. We can reap, we can sow, we can do it till we finish the work. And I ask you to do that in my life and in the lives of these that are here for the sake of Jesus Christ, who is responsible for this harvest. And for His glory and for His honor, because it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen.